His heavenly throne. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's easy to underestimate the importance of humility, which is making oneself low. Surely anyone who thinks himself or herself to be humble is not. If you think you're humble, then you're proud of your so-called humility, and you're not humble at all. Anyone who says it's hard to be humble while implying that they are in fact revealing that it's easy rather for them to be proud. And yet, humility is a desperately needed virtue for the healing of our families and for the healing of our nation. It's needed for the well-being of our souls and for our ability to recognize our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the one whose humility saved you from damnation and saved you to glory. Without humility, we're ready to tear each other apart, convincing ourselves that we deserve the higher places of honor and therefore sit in higher places in order to judge and look down on others, so that those we criticize are the ones cast down and made low. The current political mudslinging, which has no bounds, it seems, in this political cycle, is a temptation for our flesh each and every day to engage in the same insanity. Lost is intellectual analysis of the issues and the application of virtue which speaks for itself without the insistence of the to the man or against the man arguments towards the opposition. And of course, I too am less than humble as I stand here and complain as I bemoan the current state of affairs. And when we do this, our sinful pride feels great. We convince ourselves that we're better than others. It's a great feeling. It feels so good. And it proves that apart from Jesus, we're lost, too busy putting ourselves above everyone else. But such an outlook is at the end of the day one of anxiety and one of fear, driving us to try to rise above the threats of those who think differently, of those, therefore, we perceive to be as a threat to us. And in perceiving only threats and dangers means we live in fear. Faith exits, note the word exits, when humility is absent. Humility, on the other hand, is threatened by nothing. The one who is humble relies on God, whether they're exalted by men or insulted by men. It matters not. So those who are truly humble live without fear of shame. They don't need to compete. They have no pressure in their souls to be better than someone else. They are free from the societal thirst to be better than others. Humility is the virtue of healing, but we fight against it. And even when people seem humble, they're often only playing a game and faking it. Not really humble, but acting humble so that they would be lifted up by other people. Look at him or her, they're humble. So the appearance of humility is often only a mask for pride. And yet humility is assuredly needed. Cyril of Alexandria said, "The rule of virtue is a lowly mind that does not love boasting." And yet our flesh does not comply. Saint Jerome said that he never met anyone who could despise praise of himself. Luther said, "For it is pleasant to be pointed at and have people say, 'There he is.'" We're stuck in our pride. And yet the Lord will not let this stand if we are to be his people. Let us, once again, as the people of God who have been given the word of God, read it and confess it in today's sermon. I will read each reference, and then please read the scriptures with me out loud. This is beginning two-thirds of the way down on page 13 of our worship bulletins. Page 13. I'll read the reference. Please read with me the scriptures. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." James 4:10. "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you." 1 Peter 5:6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Romans 12:16. "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." Top of page 14. One more. Philippians 2, verse 3. "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." And yet that's not our instinct. Not even close. The Pharisees recorded in our gospel from Luke chapter 14 show us human nature. That's our nature. There they were. They were vying for the best seats, the places of honor. But Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the Pharisees. It appears that Jesus was waiting to allow these proud men to scramble for the best seats so that he could take whatever place was left and whatever place the host assigned him to. The Lord went on to teach proper etiquette, but not only for a wedding feast, but also for the soul. He taught, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." We need to take note that in this verse, there are two passives which cannot be missed. Not describing us and what we do in our activity, but what God does. The scriptures say, "will be humbled, will be exalted." In these two words, it's God who is acting, not us. This teaches us a lot about true humility. It's not something that we generate. We don't wake up one morning and determine that we're suddenly going to be humble. Our flesh won't allow that. Instead, God must get involved. And in mercy, he does. But how? In Jesus' teaching in Luke 14, it was only when pride gets the best of a person, when they are in the midst of their vain glory and looking to look good, that God intervenes and makes that person humble. God knocks down the proud person. When the person raises himself, God does him a favor and makes him low. Thus St. Paul confessed to his thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming conceited. Luther explained, "From this it is evident that God had a good purpose in mind when he attached suffering to the teaching of the gospel. and that he did so for a very necessary reason and for our own great benefit. He also wrote, "This millstone, our being made low in suffering, must be fastened round our neck to keep us from being infected by the poison of vainglory." That is, for the sake of true humility in our lives, the Lord allows us to go through the life events that knock us down so that our pride is crushed. Let's face it, this is a hard teaching. We don't want to hear this message anymore. And the pop churches in our culture are going to tell everyone about how to avoid suffering if you're a true Christian. That is baloney. It's not the Word of God. In truth, it's not like we have to go looking for God to humble us. Be a faithful husband. Be a faithful wife. Be a faithful father. Be a faithful mother. Be a faithful son. Be a faithful daughter. Be a faithful citizen and worker, and the Holy Cross will come to you. And God will be blessing you. And you will face hardship that will make you humble, so that by the Holy Spirit you will cry out to God and you will be blessed. Just be what God has made you to be while striving to be faithful, and the holy crosses will come all by themselves and you will be made low. And if I ended here, all of this might sound like a neatly packaged spiritual formula for achieving virtue, so we might feel pride again. So we save the best for last. Jesus said, "And he who humbles himself will be exalted." This sounds like we make ourselves humble first, but not so fast. Our circumstances that cause suffering lead us to confess our lowliness. And these trials that raise fear and anxiety, that make us feel left out and excluded, that raise great dread, that we're very much threatened, we cry out. We live our true lowliness. And this is no longer a show. It is how we pray when we're all alone. Because we see our sin and we see our weakness. We know our desperation. And this one, such a child of God, is then, as they cling to Jesus, exalted by God. And this leads me to point out that being made low isn't even the key word in this section of Luke 14. But rather it's the word invited or called, which is all over this chapter, by the way. The comfort we have, Christians, is that when we are crushed and made low, a call comes. An invitation is rendered. God says to you, "Come up here." You're welcomed. You're invited. Because the Lord only saves sinners. Only sinners are moved up and exalted. Only those who know tears have them wiped away. Only those who know weakness receive overflowing strength. Only those made low are lifted up. That's you, and that's me. But it all happens because someone had to go first to pave the way for humility, the only one who could. Beyond the matter of the higher seats and the lower seats is the one who had no seat at all. Jesus once said, also recorded in Luke, "For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." Jesus, the very Son of God, true God and true man, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, humbled himself, and in grace he seated you at his table where you receive his salvation poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. It is here that he serves you. He humbled himself as servant, as the one who heard your cry, and in his service, you are lifted up. From the epitome of our confessions. But in the state of humiliation, he dispensed with his divine majesty. For he did not always disclose this majesty, but only when it pleased him. From our solid declaration, he had this majesty at his conception, even in his mother's womb. But as the apostle testifies, he laid it aside. And as Dr. Luther explains it, he kept it hidden during the state of humiliation and did not use it at all times, but only when he wanted to. The Lord Jesus, as is recorded in Philippians 2:7, made himself nothing. He made himself low. Why? To save you. To give his life for yours so that you who have been made low through your trials would be exalted in his victory. His exaltation over sin and death, over shame and guilt, over fear and dread, over your own pride, over the devil who tries to destroy you. But Christ has said, no way to your enemy. For Jesus, the victor, has conquered, so that even your being made low has turned to exaltation. Already now in the promise, and yet in the future glory about to be revealed. You've been called. You have been invited. God came and comes to you when you're down, and when you're down in the greatest love and mercy in Jesus, who became nothing while being hanging, despised on the cross, while shedding his healing blood, lifts you up. He's made you humble. And so you confess your sin. Thus, you humble yourself. And now the promise is yours. You shall be exalted. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.